Driving and Singleness, episode 84.
This is the Thriving in Singleness podcast, where it's not about surviving, but thriving in this chapter of your life. Here are your hosts, Tom DeLong and Joshua Erickson.
Welcome to another episode of the Thriving in Singleness podcast. Tom, we just wrapped up another episode. One in the books.
That was really good. Yeah, I thought it was a great episode. It's always a great discussion to talk about how we can find fulfillment when our desires are being unfulfilled and what that looks like, you know, how we pivot our source of purpose, what we look for as a source of purpose in our lives, and just how we navigate through that. So I thought it was really good conversation.
Yeah. And I think we touched on some really important parts of contentment and kind of what does it take to be content? How do you tackle it? How do you, you know, be content in light of unfulfilled desires? And we touched on just, gratitude and some different aspects. And again, if we polled a whole bunch of single people, contentment would be right up at the top of something that's a struggle, right? Because it's a constant thing that, you know, comparison nowadays with being able to compare yourself to everyone in the entire world, that is a new thing in life. You can literally go through and compare yourself to anyone and everyone. And so contentment is, there's a war against it, and you really have to be intentional to be content nowadays, because there's a million advertisements, a million things trying to be sold to you to say why you shouldn't be content.
Yeah.
And if you listen to that, you won't be content. So it was good that we touched on it again. It's one of those topics that it's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle. And that's the thing. It's not just singleness, right? It's how many times can you be married and wish you were single, right? There's a lot of, contentment is almost irrelevant to your situation.
Yeah.
You can be discontent wherever you're at, but it's very specific to your situation on how can you be content where you're at.
Yeah.
And what do you do to accomplish that?
But, and even singleness aside, it's like, you know, looking at people who have a lot of money, they have Lamborghinis, they have nice houses by the beach. You know, you can look at that and, you know, I think social media has really magnified the ability to feel discontent and feel like, you know, you're really missing out on something. And, you know, that's, you know, it is an extra struggle in everybody's life. The comparison game, you know, comparing yourself to how somebody else is doing in their life, somebody younger that has found more success than you that is doing really well. And so, the comparison, that's really been magnified with social media, you know, especially in the last 10, 15 years. That's so much more of a thing. And, you know, in singleness, that's so more prevalent that it's something to work through, as well as, you know, battle not just the struggles that are faced in singleness, but the desire to compare and the ability to feel inadequate in the midst of that. So, it's an ever-changing world, that's for sure.
Yep. Go with the flow, right? I mean, you got to just re-equip yourself to deal with a lot of this stuff, you know, whether you're married or single. But awesome. Well, let's bring in Jessica. Jessica, how's it going? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So where are you located? I know me and Tom are not in different states, so we always play this game of where's our guest located?
Yeah, I am in Wisconsin, northwestern Wisconsin.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I grew up close to northwestern Wisconsin, northeastern Wisconsin. So I grew up in the UP of Michigan.
Yep.
So not too far away. But I'm in Grand Rapids now, and Tom is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Right, Tom?
Did I pronounce that right? Lancaster. We call it Lancaster.
Lancaster?
But that's just a local thing. We know everybody else is going to call it Lancaster.
Well, because you pronounce it that way. Or you spell it that way, right?
I mean, yeah. But we also spell it like Lancaster.
Okay, anyways. We won't get into the verbal
I won't
side
get too picky.
This.
You're picky if you're a local.
I have an accent that people always make fun of, so I'm not going to get into the verbal side of things.
But, like almost Canadian.
Yeah.
Comes out in you just a little bit sometimes.
Yes, it is very true.
So. We'll probably hear a little bit of that from Jessica as well. It's that
probably,
like
yep.
Minnesota,
yep.
Wisconsin accent.
Yeah, how far are you from like Minnesota?
Almost Canadian.
I'm probably only like 30 minutes from the Wisconsin-Minnesota border. So
okay.
30, 45 minutes somewhere in there. Yeah.
Grow up there. Did you grow up
yep.
there or move there?
Yep, I've lived okay. here my whole life.
Okay. The winters, are they pretty bad? I know that we just had snow and now it's all melted, so I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, usually we get a lot of snow. This winter's been really weird. We've not had many snow. Actually, this past weekend was our like first snowfall really of the year. So I bought a shovel and salt to be like all prepared in my new apartment, and I've used them like maybe 3 times.
That's the way it goes. If you buy something to be prepared for something, you just don't use it.
Yeah.
Tom would be very happy if he got snow, but he hasn't been getting snow.
It's been a pretty poor winter. We did have a good snowstorm, which is an improvement from last year. Last year was just complete dud. But this year we had a snowstorm, well, back-to-back snowstorms, but just kind of bundled into one. I got some snowboarding in, did plenty of sledding best I could, and had a lot of fun with it. But yeah, I don't know if I could do Midwest winters. It's like, all right, cool. We got this snow here, and then check out these non-mountains. I mean, not that I have anything to brag about in my area, but like, what good is all the snow if you can't go downhill in it?
It's very true. Very true. So, Jessica, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do for your day-to-day?
Yeah, my job, the job that pays the bills, I work at an elementary school as a lunch lady. And then I also write. I write about singleness and have written some devotionals for women, some on singleness, some not. And then I also am involved with kids ministry at my church.
Very nice. So what with this, the topic of singleness is always something that's so different for so many people. Kind of what is your journey been with it? What has God been teaching you? What is kind of, you know, if you could start with your journey of singleness, where does that start for you in kind of your story?
Yeah. So growing up, like all of the older women in my life that I knew who were involved in my life, who were like mentors to me, even like my mom, they all were married and had kids, and they had gotten married and had kids at pretty young age, like right around 20 or so. And so for me, that was like the picture of being like a godly woman and living out like biblical womanhood. That was like kind of the picture that I had of that. And so my dream for like as long as I can remember was to do the same thing. Like, I'll get married young, I'll have kids, I'll homeschool my kids, I'll have chickens. That was like my plan and my dream, because that was kind of what I saw and what I wanted. But that didn't happen. And, you know, I graduated high school, I got a job, I then got my job as a lunch lady, and I hit into like my mid-20s and was just really, really, really discontent in my life. Even though I saw a lot of good things in my life, even though I was having a lot of really cool opportunities, I was getting to use gifts and passions like in ministry, but I still felt really discontent because things weren't going how I thought maybe they should and how I had wanted them to, that I was still single when I didn't want to be. And even that question of like, is there something wrong with me that I'm single later than like all of these other good Christian women who I look up to? And so, yeah, I was dealing with just a lot of discontentment, and even in situations and circumstances where I was like, yeah, this is good and I'm enjoying it, kind of, there was always this like undercurrent of discontentment. And I began to really like press into that. Like, where is this coming from? Why am I feeling this way? And really just started with searching scripture. And I didn't know at that time, like, what scripture really had to say about contentment, but I knew that a word that was in scripture a lot that seemed to kind of capture the like sense of contentment and fulfillment that I wanted was joy. And so I began just looking at what does the scripture say about joy? And in that really started to be convicted that I was experiencing the discontentment because I was looking for my joy and my purpose and my worth in something other than Jesus. I believed that mm-hmm. like that all was going to be found in marriage, that it was when I got married that I would finally know I'm good enough. It was when I got married that I would finally have real purpose for my life. When I got married that I would finally like just feel fulfilled and happy all the time. And yeah, so that was like a big conviction for me was like, I'm not finding these things in Jesus. And so then I kind of started, I say it was my journey of like learning contentment and singleness and just taking different steps in obedience. Like one of the first ones being starting a gratitude list and to like just begin to rejoice and find my joy in Christ and to really embrace and enjoy the good gifts that God was already pouring out to me in that. And it's definitely been a journey. There have definitely been times when I'm more content than others, but God has been just so faithful that as I've leaned on him and just continue to seek him and pray for him to fill me with that sense of joy, like he's been faithful to do that. And Jesus has just proved himself over and over to be enough, even in the longings or unmet desires that I might have. Like Jesus has just continued to prove himself to be enough.
That's good. Yeah, contentment is, it goes hand in hand with singleness if it's a struggle, right? Because mm-hmm. singleness is often, you know, if you're single and you're going and you're struggling with it, you see it as something that is something to endure. It's something that there's a lack.
Yep.
So yes, you look at it and say, I don't have something. So it's, I guess I need to be content. And I like how you talked about gratitude because Thanksgiving and being thankful, that is so biblical to go to God with Thanksgiving and basically be thankful before we ask, before we request, because they're both, it's not that, and I think this is something I'm learning even more and more for me personally and again, it's so much in the Bible, but sometimes it takes a while to really get ingrained in our, you know, in our faith and all that. But God wants us to ask. He wants us to request. Mm-hmm. He wants us to petition. He wants us to do all of these things. But if we start with the wrong heart, right? And I think, you know, growing up in church with very similar goals in a sense, you know, I think the age group of, you know, the later 20s, 30s, we grew up where we saw marriage as the thing
yep.
in church. This is what we are called to do. So when I saw a statistic where the average age of marriage has continually been going up mm-hmm. for the last, like, basically since I started dating. So it's this issue of like, okay, things are changing while we're growing up, while a generation's growing up, while we're still trying to get what was once the goal. So yeah. We're trying to hit a moving target. And I think that's part of God's plan because God's shaking things up and we're asking these questions and we're spending more time. What is marriage? What are these things? What does it mean to be single and content and fulfilled and all that? Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting because it took me years to even want to ask these questions. For years, I was just trying to figure out how I could get married. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it's like, okay, well, maybe I have to figure out how to be single. But with your story, with your journey, what were some of the things that really allowed you to be content, if it's practical steps. You talked about the gratitude mm-hmm. journal, and but what were some other things that you really found to be pivotal in being content? And maybe a few things that really you had to safeguard yourself from so that didn't steal your contentment.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, the gratitude, that was like the very first thing I started doing, because just seeing how like joy and rejoicing and gratitude just in scripture, like they always seem to be walking hand in hand throughout scripture. So mm-hmm. starting that, I also spent it was over a couple of years really digging into the characteristics of God and then my identity in Christ. And that really helped me just in knowing like God is the same God, whether I'm single or I'm married. Like he's not less good to me because I'm single, or he's not less of a provider to me because I'm single, or he's not less gracious to me or loving to me. Like he's the same God, like whether I'm single or married, like so I can experience him and have a relationship with him and hear his voice and walk in his leading, like whether I'm single or married, and he's going to equip me for whatever he's called me to. And then also, yeah, with identity in Christ, just seeing like, there's no like, this is your identity in Christ if you're married, and this is your identity in Christ if you're single. It's the same for all of us who are in Christ. And so that especially spoke to me in the areas where I was going like, what's wrong with me? Like, and kind of thinking like singleness must equal like brokenness. Singleness mm-hmm. must mean that like I'm not good enough. Marriage is something I have to earn. But seeing that who I am in Christ is the same regardless of my relationship status. And again, he's going to equip me to walk out that identity through his Spirit. Some other things were just really leaning into my friendships, because so often with the longing for marriage, there's with that longing for, you know, maybe we feel lonely. We long for belonging. We long for connection, support, encouragement. So really leaning into my friendships and beginning to see friendship as just as like valid and valuable a relationship as like romantic relationships and marriage. And I would say a big thing I really had to like safeguard myself from was comparison, mm-hmm. looking at my life and comparing it to someone else's, and just kind of coming to that realization that like this is my life. Like I can't compare it to someone else's because their life isn't my life and my life isn't their life. This is the life that God has given me. And like, what if I just really lean into that life instead of comparing it and having that like fear of missing out or thinking that my life's like second rate because it doesn't look the same mm-hmm. because there's unique things that God has done in my life and that I wouldn't have experienced if my life looked like someone else's. But that's what he has for me.
Yeah. Like what has been the change in your focal point when it came to previously your focal point was finding purpose and fulfillment in marriage. Mm-hmm. And how would you describe your focal point now for where you find your purpose and where you find your fulfillment?
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is in Christ.
Okay. Yeah.
But really, you know, like in scripture, we're created in the image of God. So we're created mm-hmm. for relationship with God and to reflect him in our relationships with others. And so that's really become like more my focus. And like that, I believe, is my purpose is everyone's purpose. And how that like looks in our lives may look different from person to person, like in the jobs that we do and some people being married and some people not. But it's the same purpose. Like we're all created to know God and make him known. And so that's really become, yeah, my focus when I'm looking for purpose, for fulfillment, for joy. It's to lean into that relationship with God and to seek the leading of his spirit so that I can continue to grow in Christ-likeness in my relationships with others.
So with fulfillment, because Tom's question kind of touched on it a little bit, just changing that focus to find fulfillment. Oftentimes, singleness, walking in singleness, is trying to be content, live a life, while still having an unfulfilled desire or a dream. What does that kind of look like for you, like in the day-to-day and maybe the struggles and in the, a lot of it's mental battles, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's stuff I face every day, and I'm constantly trying to figure out kind of what is God calling us to do as single people with that. But what does that kind of look for you, and what is that journey maybe taught you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Part of it for me has been just like kind of going back to what I said before about our purpose is, has been kind of going back to, okay, like, what am I really living for? Am I living for getting all of my dreams fulfilled? Am I living for being happy all of the time? Am I living for becoming comfortable or life becoming easy? Like, what, getting back to just, what am I really living for? And that's often something I have to remind myself of frequently, that ultimately I'm living for Christ. I'm living for that relationship with him and sharing him with the different people that he's placed in my life. And then also just like letting the longings draw me to Jesus. Like when I experience those longings and desires, it's so easy for my mind to go, if only I were married, then I wouldn't be feeling insecure right now. If only I were married, I wouldn't be worried about this thing. If only I were married, like that would just solve all my problems. It's so easy to think that, but when I really like think about what am I really longing for right now? Am I longing for peace? Am I in need of confidence? Am I longing for direction or wisdom? And allowing that to like draw me to Jesus and like, I mean, just prayer, like offering those longings to him, thanking him that he is enough in those longings and asking him for what I need and desire and trusting that he's going to fulfill that need or desire in his way, in the best way, and not necessarily the way I think it should be fulfilled. And then really just being open to new dreams. I think it's so easy. I found myself actually, it wasn't that long ago, I realized, you know, part of my dream of marriage and being like becoming a mom is like that dream of being like a homemaker. And I realized that I was kind of waiting to live out that aspect of my dream of being a homemaker, like until I get married. But I was like, wait a second, I don't actually have to wait until I get married to like live out that dream of making home. I can do that right now in my singleness. I can care for my home. I can make good meals for myself. I can invite others over and make good meals for them. I don't have to wait to do that. And so I've just spent some time too, even now, and I'm kind of curious as I think about it more, what more I'll discover with like, what other dreams have I so much tied up to marriage and motherhood that I'm holding back from actually walking in them when I don't really have to wait? And so, yeah, just thinking about like, am I holding back on something like, I know so many people like they dream of traveling with a spouse. We don't actually have to wait to travel till we're married. That's something that mm-hmm. we can do right now. So like thinking about what aspects of this dream do I actually not have to wait to do? But I don't actually have to wait for marriage to do. And then I can like pursue those as God brings those opportunities.
That's really good, because if we look at it, oftentimes someone who's single and struggling with singleness, maybe growing up in church or not even growing up in church, just wanting relationships, all that. It's this, I need this dream. I need this outcome, which is common, which is the thing that a lot of people are looking for. I need that, and that becomes the focus, and oftentimes it completely stops. I know in my own life, it was same scenarios of, this is what I'm going to focus on, and I'm going to do everything I can to get it. And if I don't, there'll be frustration and all that stuff. And it just starts putting like a limit or a stranglehold on even that pursuit. And at the same time, all of the possibilities that are there are almost completely ignored of, oh, if I'm single, what can I do in this time? What is, I think for me, I noticed God put things on my heart that were, that I knew were there, but I was like, I will do that eventually. That's not my focus now. And what's crazy is God is oftentimes calling us to do it now, mm-hmm. not later. And again, he calls us still to wait, but really, I think I went through a period where I reflected on all the things, you know, I was unhappy, I was not content, I was, you know, a whole bunch of things, but I started to look at all the things that I had in my future that I was wondering about those things, and I was praying about them, and I started asking myself, why am I not doing this now? Mm-hmm. Why am I not pursuing these things now? And I think oftentimes we get so over-focused on a relationship, so over-focused on a marriage and pursuing that, that we paralyze ourselves to the idea of doing anything else because we're putting all of our efforts into that. And it's sad because God wants to give us all of those things. He wants to really, you know, bless us with a lot of, you know, all of the things he's put on our heart, but we get so over-focused on one thing. For you, did you see that when you maybe started that mental shift? Did you see other things rise to the surface that maybe you made more room for dreams that you maybe knew were there or maybe you didn't give space to at a time? Did you see that as a result?
Yes, for sure I did. I got involved in like children's ministry at my church pretty much right out of high school. But I feel like it's been since really like shifting that thinking about singleness and that thinking about like, I don't need to wait for marriage to do some of these other dreams and giftings and passions that God has placed on my heart, that I've like really felt that passion for children's discipleship like awaken. And which is really cool because one of my dreams has been to be a mom. And I know that like it's different when you're teaching kids for like an hour or two on a Wednesday evening than like being a parent. But like still mm-hmm. getting to use that passion of discipling kids and a passion for God's word with them, and several kids who come who they don't get that at home. When they come on Wednesday nights to our church, that's when they're hearing the gospel. That's the only time that the scriptures are being shared with them. And then even with like my writing that I do, I had written some like short stories and things when I was a kid. I mean, who doesn't write stories when they're a kid? But like, I never had a dream to be a writer or to publish devotionals. And again, it was like, as I just started learning contentment in my singleness and really trying to lean into what God has for me right now, that I began writing. The focus of my writing became more clear with writing specifically about singleness. And yeah, so those are just a few dreams that I would say, like some of them I had, some of them I didn't even know I had until I really became open to new dreams that God had for me, or maybe walking in some of those dreams in a way that was different than what I had originally thought.
And do you think part of your writing devotionals is part of how your focal point has shifted in finding purpose?
Yeah, for sure. I was probably around 20, I remember, and I was sitting in the parking lot outside of my work, and I was feeling super discouraged. And this was still during a time when I was like really, really discontent in my singleness. And I remember praying before going into work, like just kind of in desperation and some like exasperation, maybe even with God, like, okay, God, like, mm-hmm. what do you want me to do with my life? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? And it's one of the clearest times I ever heard God speak to me. And he said, just teach my word. Like, that's what I want you to do. And yeah, so seeing that come to fruition as I've shifted that focus, like both just in my church and in writing, like having these opportunities to teach his word has just been like awe-inspiring. Just seeing God's faithfulness in that is has just been incredible.
That's awesome.
Kind of circling back to the living a fulfilled life with unfulfilled dreams. I know in singleness, it's often, and this is something even personally I've been thinking a lot more about, how to be content in singleness while still desiring marriage, in a sense, fully, because I think so oftentimes we've created singleness and the narrative around singleness to be, you can't have both. You can't be single and content while still strongly desiring marriage. And I'm not saying it's a narrative that people are saying, but just the way we go about it. And I'm saying this because personally, it's something that I've had to try to figure out how to have, how to do, how to walk out. What does that look like for you? Have you seen, because I think it's something that I've started to become more aware of, that if it's something that I do desire, that I need to make space for it to exist. And oftentimes I think with singleness, we don't have the conversations where we say, oh, just be single and content, but we don't talk about how can these things coexist. I just want to get your thoughts on that, because it's something that I've recently been thinking about, and it's something very hard. It's like a tightrope.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely like a tension there, that both and, that I can be both content in singleness and still desiring marriage. And I think for me early on, I was afraid of becoming content in singleness, because I thought if I become content in singleness, that means either A, I'm not going to desire any marriage. I'm not going to desire marriage anymore. And I want to desire marriage because I want to be married. or B, if I become too content, God will be like, oh, well, she's content, so we can just leave her there.
She's fine.
She's
doing just fine.
Yeah. And that,
she's all right.
That desire wouldn't ever be fulfilled. And I was like, I want to be content, but I'm also afraid of becoming too content. But for me, I think it's really just looked like, yes, I still have that desire to be married, but I'm not placing, again, my purpose, my worth, my fulfillment in that desire. I believe that singleness is just as beautiful and joyful and purposeful a way of being as marriage. And trusting that if I'm single for the rest of my life, or if I do get married at some point in my life, trusting that wherever God leads me, that's going to be a good and full and beautiful life, because that's what he promises, that when we walk with him, that's fullness of life. And yeah, like I said earlier, there's some days where it's easier than others. That tension doesn't feel quite as tense, but some days it's a lot of prayer and just pouring out my heart to God and trusting that he hears and understands, and that he is going to do what is good and loving and for my best.
What would your biggest advice be for someone who's kind of struggling with singleness? Maybe it's on something we've discussed already, but what would kind of be, I know for me when I give advice, or when if I was asked that question, oftentimes it's what I'm going through at the moment, or maybe it's one of the bigger things that really stuck with me. But what would one thing that you'd like to share with people who are struggling with singleness or walking that out right now?
I would really just encourage that, like, it's a journey, and that, like, contentment and finding our fulfillment in Christ and, you know, walking in the purpose that God has for us, it's not, like, about arriving at some place of perfection. I know for me there was a while there where I thought, like, if I can just, like, become content, then I'll just always be content and everything will be great and perfect. But, like, our relationship with Jesus, it's dynamic, it's growing. And so like our joy and contentment in him is also going to always be like growing. And so to know that it's not necessarily about arriving at this place of perfection, but just remembering that it's like just walking with Jesus and abiding in him.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's tough to do the day-to-day. I think you kind of touched on it. We've tried to do this long-term. This is the way it's always going to be. I need to get there, and maybe God doesn't need to. Once I get there, God doesn't need to help me, and I think God's really interested in the walking with him daily. Yeah. For you, what were some of the biggest, or I guess kind of we've talked about them, but in singleness, those struggles, was there anything other than other areas that we didn't talk about in singleness that you struggled with, that you overcame, or other just areas that maybe we didn't discuss?
Yeah, a big one for me was just needing to like reframe how I saw singleness. Because I think for me, there was a lot of, I saw singleness, I thought singleness was something that was less than marriage, or just like, oh, it's only a waiting season until marriage, all about preparing for marriage. So learning to kind of reframe that it's not less than, it doesn't mean that I'm less than, and that there's already like goodness and purpose that God has for me right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because I think for me, that was a big turning point for me to not try to get out of singleness, but try to understand what I was actually in. Mm-hmm. And then you start seeing that, and I think we've talked about it, you start seeing that it really doesn't have much to do with your relationship status, but more just with yourself and your identity. And kind of, you talked about earlier on of, we have the same, kind of when you're talking about the identity of God earlier on, it doesn't matter if you're married or single, we still have this same identity in Christ, and we still have these things that we should focus on. For you, what does thriving in singleness look like? What does it mean? Especially with the reframing of singleness and looking at it in a different way, what does that look like now for you?
Yeah. I think now for me, it really just looks like leaning into what God has for me right now, to lean into relationship with him, to lean into growing in Christ-likeness. And so not waiting for marriage to walk in his purpose for me and his callings for me, and to like lean into the gifts and the passions that he's given me, and like pour into the different people that he's already put in my life for me to interact with and have relationship with.
Yeah. The day to day, it's crazy, because that's all we ever live is the day to day. And oftentimes we choose to like skip over it, or constantly try to skip over it, to try to get to that what's next. Mm-hmm. But as we wrap up, as we kind of start that wrapping up, what is a favorite verse, or a verse that's kind of been meaningful in this stage of life, in this season of life, in this time in life, however we want? Like, I think oftentimes we have favorite verses that just kind of cover our entire lives, that we just always are there. And we have verses that are sometimes kind of part of our chapters. What is kind of a verse that's been sticking out to you lately?
Yeah. Really the whole chapter of Psalm 23, you know, it begins with those words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that one, yeah, in different seasons of my life, it's challenged me, comforted me, grown me in different ways. But yeah, just that truth that if the Lord is my shepherd, if he's the one that I'm following, that I'm walking with, who I'm trusting to provide and take care of me, then I'm not going to be in want. Or depending on the translation, it'll say like, I have everything I need, or I lack nothing, that I'm going to be taken care of. He's going to provide.
And how can our listeners and us, me and Tom, how can we be praying for you?
Yeah. Well, like an more immediate prayer request I have is beginning of this next month in April, I'm going to get to be speaking at a ladies retreat, but I'm super duper nervous about it.
Awesome.
So just prayers for preparing for that and peace in the midst of that. Yeah, that both, and again, I'm both looking forward to it and really nervous about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, the nervous things are the things that, what I found is if you're nervous about it, do it.
Yeah.
Like, and go all in, because it's amazing how those are the things that eventually, it's just, they're cool opportunities, and not a lot of people are nervous to sit on their couch and watch TV. Right. So definitely take that and run with it. So, and where can our listeners connect with you on social media and find your devotional that you published and stuff like that? Where can they find
that? Yeah. So I'm on Instagram as Jessica Faith Writes. And then my website is theoverflowing.com, and I have a blog with a lot of writing. And then, the devotionals can all be found there as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Jessica. This has been a great episode. Great to hear your story and just everything that you shared with us. And, we're excited to see how your conference goes.
Yeah, thanks.
It's always exciting to see kind of, what our guests have coming in the future. Yeah. So. Yeah, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much. This is great.
So thanks again, everyone, for joining us for another episode of the Thriving in Singleness podcast. Remember to like us on Instagram at Thriving in Singleness. Remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it, from Apple, Spotify, whatever platform you use. And remember, share this with friends. Share this with coworkers, with family members, with random people you meet on the street. Wherever God leads you, share it, because we need to keep this conversation around singleness going. That's really how we can change the narrative around singleness, if we keep talking about it. And I really believe that God is moving in the hearts of his church, in the hearts of people around singleness, and how to see it in a healthy way. So, thanks again for joining us. And remember, seize the day and maximize every chapter in your life.
Thanks for listening to the Thriving in Singleness podcast. Look for new episodes wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.